Philippians chapter 3, verse number 7 says this, "But what things were counted, or but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death." Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for this day that you've given us, God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, not only for coming to this earth willingly, giving your life to pay for our sins, but Lord, not only did you die and we were buried in the grave, but Lord, you arose and you are now seated on the right hand of the throne of God and you are living forevermore, dear Lord. Thank you so much for the victory that you've given us, the victory over sin, the victory that we can have in our life, Lord, as we submit to the leading of the Holy Spirit in our life, God. Lord, I just pray, God, now as we look in your word, God, that you would speak to our hearts tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd help me to say what you'd have me to say this evening, and that, God, we may leave this place and face this week that is to come and this year that is to come renewed in our focus towards you and what we might do for your will in our life, dear God. Thank you so much for allowing us to be here tonight. We ask all this in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Thank you so much. You may be seated. I was praying and asking God, you know, what he would have me to preach on tonight. And, you know, as missionaries, we go around different places and, you know, we look, folks, it's hard sometimes. You're traveling all the time. You don't always have a brand new, fresh message every time that you are going to a different church. And so, you know, you tend to learn your messages as you preach them several different times, maybe in different places. But tonight, I just felt like God was speaking to my heart about this passage where Paul here, he's talking about all the different things that he used to do and all of the, he goes through a list of the things that he used to believe. And if you read there in verse number four, he says, "Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless." And you see, Paul, he talks about the religion that he used to have and all the things that he used to do. And, you know, he could go through and he could check the boxes. And, man, he had his doctrine straight. He did all the things that he was supposed to do. But all of it was vain. All of it was simply religion. It was going through the motions. And he says there in verse number 7, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ." I think a lot of times as Christians, you know, we think about all the things that we try to do and all the goals that we aspire to achieve and all the things that maybe we have accomplished in our past. And if we're not careful, we can allow ourselves to become filled with pride and to think, man, Jesus really got something when he saved me. And now I get to give all of my life and my talents to Jesus Christ. Listen, folks, it is by the grace of God tonight that we are in this place. It is by the grace of God that we are not on our way to burning hell. And it's because of Jesus Christ that we're able to do anything of any value whatsoever. Before we were saved, the Bible says that all of our righteousness was as filthy rags. I thank God that he saved our souls. But then, not only is it wonderful that he saved us, I don't want it to stop with just saying, yes, I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, and praise God for that. If we don't get anything else out of this life but knowing Jesus Christ as our Savior, then that is good. But wouldn't it be even better, like as Paul says there, that we may know him in the power of his resurrection, to have a daily walk in relationship with Jesus Christ. This spirit that we've had today as we celebrate the rising of Jesus Christ, his victory over death, wouldn't it be great if we could live in that spirit each and every day of our lives? Now, I understand we go through trials, we go through heartaches and things in our life, and not every day is, you know, walking on clouds. We understand that. But yet, if our hope is not in the things of this earth, but is in our Savior Jesus Christ, we can rejoice and have joy knowing that we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I know that as a missionary now and going on to deputation, I could not have gone through some of the things that God has brought us through if I wasn't able to hold on to Jesus Christ. In our life as Christians, if we're going to follow God's will in our life, if we're going to do anything of value for Jesus Christ, we're going to have to know him and the power of his resurrection. Salvation is just the beginning of an eternal relationship. Verse 9 there says, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. We get clothed in Jesus' righteousness when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, allowing him to forgive us of our sins through his atoning death on the cross. And not only did he die on the cross, amen, we have to remember he rose again, because if he had not risen again, his death would have been in vain. But as we get saved and we trust Christ as our Savior, that is the beginning of an eternal relationship that we have with him. Paul says that I may know him. He's not talking about being saved. He's already been saved. But yet Paul says, hey, he says later on in that chapter, look, brethren, I have not apprehended. I've not gotten to the place where I've got it all figured out. I don't have it perfect. I just want to know him. Every day I want to live trying to know him more and more, trying to walk with him, trying to live in the power of his resurrection. A man once said this, an old preacher back in the 1800s, he said, we may know him personally, intimately, face to face. Christ does not live in the back in the centuries nor amid the clouds of heaven. He is near us, with us, compassing our path in our lying down and acquainted with all our ways. But we cannot know him in this mortal life except through the illumination and teaching of the Holy Spirit. And we must surely know Christ not as a stranger who turns in to visit for the night or as the exalted King of men. There must be the inner knowledge as of those whom he counts his own familiar friends, whom he trusts with his secrets, who eat with him of his own bread. You know, Jesus Christ, yes, he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. He is seated at the right hand of God up in heaven to live eternally. But yet, the Bible says that he is our friend, our companion. He wants to walk with us. Like that song says, walk with us, talk with us. Are we talking and walking with God, with our Savior each and every day? Are we in fellowship with the Holy Spirit? Or have we pushed him off to the corner in the side of a room somewhere where we say, hey, I don't want you to mess with my life. I don't want you to tell me what's right or what's wrong. I just want to do what I want to do. You know, we can know the rules and practices of this book here. We can know how to look right and to come to church and to put a suit on and put a dress on and to smile and to maybe even go on a bus and sing songs to kids, but yet not have a close, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. You say, Brother Morgan, how can you say that? I know, because I've been there myself. And I would venture to say probably many in this room have been in that same situation at one point or another. Being saved is great. It's amazing to be saved. But if we stop simply at our salvation, we are missing so much. The joy that we have as Christians, that joy, that spirit that we had today of celebrating our Lord's ascension to heaven, his resurrection and then ascension to heaven. You know, I can't separate those two, Pastor Ross. He rose again, but then he rose up to heaven and he lives forevermore. That's wonderful. That spirit that we have, you know, we ought to try to live in that spirit each and every day with a walk, a daily close walk with our Savior. F.B. Meyer said, we should never rest until we know him as we know our friend and are able to read without speech the movements of his soul. Jesus ought to be our best friend, our close companion, our guide, and our director through this life. Folks, if we're going to live victoriously, if we're going to get to the end of this life someday and hear those words, well done, thou good, faithful servant, we're going to have to live and walk with our Savior each and every day, being led by the Holy Spirit of God as our constant companion. I want you to see, number one tonight, we need to know his power. We need to know his power. Paul says there in verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. You can almost feel how Paul feels when he writes that word know, that passion, that drive that he has. We think about Paul, one of the greatest Christians that's ever recorded in the scripture. You would think, man, he must have it all figured out. He got to the top level. He's like, he beat the video game boys, all right? He got past everything and he missed, maybe he used some cheat codes, but whatever it is, he figured it out. But yet Paul here, he says, he has a desire, even as he is in that state of all that he does for the Lord and everything that he's given his life to serve God, he still wants and has a desire that he may know Jesus Christ in the power of his resurrection. It's not just an acquaintance of, oh yeah, that Jesus guy, yeah, he saved my soul. Oh yeah, I know about Jesus. I was in Jasper actually yesterday. I was getting my hair cut and I went down there to get an oil change. Everything around where I was staying was closed, and I went to get an oil change, and I got a haircut. And I was talking to the man there who was cutting my hair, and you know, he had kind of a shaved head and two earrings, and he kind of talked a little bit funny, and I thought, oh man, this is going to be interesting. And so, he asked me, what do I do? And I said, well, we're missionaries. We are going, all around the country trying to raise support so we can go start churches in Japan. And he's like, oh wow, that is really awesome. And he's like, my cousin here in town, he's a minister. And I thought maybe it's Blessed or Living Hope Baptist Church. No, it wasn't. He said, he said it was Redemption or something like that. And I said, oh, Redemption? Yeah, it might be church. Maybe it's just Redemption. He didn't know. Anyway, I asked him, you know, do you go there? And he said, well, I've been before, but, you know, I work a lot. And I said, well, do you know the Lord? You know the Lord Jesus as your Savior? And he says, yeah, I do. No, I was raised that way, and my mom and dad taught me, and, you know, I know Jesus is my Savior. And I said, well, that's good, but how sad it is that now this man is not even seem like he's probably going to church, or if he does, it's maybe every here and there, and he doesn't have that close fellowship with Jesus Christ. Hey, it's great if you're saved, and Jesus' goal in dying on the cross was that so all men could be saved, but wouldn't it be so much better if not only are we saved, but yet we can live in that joy of knowing Jesus Christ, knowing him as our friend and companion through this life. I'm so thankful that not only did Jesus Christ save me, but he has blessed me beyond measure and giving me my wife and my six children and now calling us to go to Japan. It is a blessing to be able to serve God in any way whatsoever. And I'm so thankful for that relationship that we have. We need to know his power through a relationship. Once Paul was saved, he had a lifelong pursuit of gaining a deeper knowledge of his Savior. And every Christian should have a desire to know Christ in a life-shaping way. One man said it this way, the end of all learning is to know God, and out of that knowledge, to love and imitate him. It's been said, you know, that the people that we spend the most time with will influence our personality. Pastor Mike Johnson said this once. He said, look at a person's friends and you'll see how that person's going to turn out. Just see who that person spends time with. Those people that you spend time with are going to have a big influence on the kind of person that you are. Hey, wouldn't it be great if our best friend was Jesus Christ? The one that we spent the most time with was Jesus Christ. The one that shaped our personalities was Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but there's so much garbage in this world these days that if we're not careful, we can get our mind off of Jesus and distracted on these other things and allow these things to cloud our thoughts and to darken us or darken our vision. But if we just keep our eyes focused on Jesus Christ, he'll help us to get through it all, knowing where we need to go. I think about later on there in verse number 13, Paul says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul wasn't letting all this stuff in the world bother him. He was simply had his eyes focused on Jesus Christ, striving to reach that goal that God had for him in his life. We need to know his power through a relationship, but also through his resurrection there. Paul says, that I may know him, verse 10, and the power of his resurrection. Paul gladly traded those things that were highly valued in his life. Before he was saved, those things that he could look upon and say, look at this degree that I have. Look, I'm a Pharisee. I graduated top of the Pharisee class or whatever it was. And I have this qualification and this degree. And I've done this and this and this. But yet Paul looked at all of that and said, I would gladly trade all of those things so that I may know Jesus Christ in the power of his resurrection. I think about in my life, you know, you could look at my life and maybe before, not necessarily after I got, or before I got saved, but after I got saved, as I said before, I was living a life where I was showing up to church. I was going through the motions. I was serving God. I was leading people to the Lord. I was teaching a Sunday school class and serving on a bus route and all these different things. But yet my heart was not in the right place. My fellowship daily was not with Jesus like it ought to have been. And after a while, little by little, my heart started to grow cold. And I caught myself just going through the motions of doing what was expected of me, doing what I had just been doing for many years. I thank God that at one point he got a hold of my heart and I realized that I was trying to live my life in my own strength, trying to seek my will and my desire for my life. I had my goal and my plan. I knew that God was calling me at one point to be a missionary, but I walked away from that thinking, God, I could never be a missionary. I'm just going to serve you the way that I want to serve you. I'm just going to do what I think I can do, God, and I can't do that. And so as a result, I walked away from the will of God. God, for whatever reason, allowed us to become very successful, to buy the nice house, to have the nice car, to have lots of money and all those kinds of things. And I don't say this in any way whatsoever to boast of myself, because it's only by the grace of God that any of that even happened. But when I knew that God was calling us to be a missionary, when I finally started to say, God, I'm so tired of trying to do my life on my terms, trying to work so hard just to only get maybe what's second best or third best, when God has the best. You know, it's funny, isn't it? We think, well, God, He created me. He loved me. He created me perfectly in His image, and He knows the number of hairs on my head. He loved me so much that He gave His life so that I might be saved, so that I could go to heaven. But then now God, He wants to call me into some life that's going to be miserable. It's going to be awful, and I'm not going to like it whatsoever. I mean, what kind of God do we serve? Do we truly believe that? I don't think we would ever say that, but yet so many times in our actions, that shows what we believe. I believe, and I finally figured it out after many years. I'm not saying I got it figured out. It took me a long time. But I finally realized that God had a better plan for my life than ever anything that I could ever come up with. And when I finally surrendered to that plan, guess what? I would gladly trade anything in my life to just know that I'm serving God the way that He wants me to serve Him, living my life in the way that He wants to live it. And I'm not saying I'm perfect. I stumble and fall just like everybody else. But by the grace of God, I can get back up and keep on going the way God wants me to. Because I know we're doing what God wants us to do. And I'm so thankful that He allowed me to do it. I think about Jonah. You know how Jonah, God called him to go to Nineveh, and yet he turned from the Lord, and God had to take him through some things, and he got thrown overboard on a ship, and then he got swallowed up by the whale, and he was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights. A picture of Jesus' death there. But then he finally got right with God, and he said, God, I will do what I vowed to do. And God had that whale vomit him up on the land. I love that word vomit, amen. And it's graphic. You know, sometimes the Bible's graphic, and it needs to be. And then God said, again, that the word of the Lord came again unto Jonah, and he said, arise, go into Nineveh. God still had a plan and a purpose for Jonah's life. Maybe here tonight and say, well, I messed up my call and God, I knew what God wanted me to do and I didn't do it. Hey, maybe you should just try surrendering to God and see what God can still do with your life. Hey, it may not be exactly the same, but God can still use any person to do something for Him if we'll simply just surrender to His will. Paul here, he said, I don't care about all the things that happened to me before. I don't care about any of that. I simply want to focus on Jesus Christ, and by the grace of God, I'll do whatever He allows me to do for Him. Paul knew his power, because he had a relationship with Him. He knew His power because he knew of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But not only do we need to know His power, we need to know His presence. Look at verse number 10 there. It says, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. We need to have a personal fellowship with Jesus Christ, a fellowship where to suffer for Christ as we work for Him to do His will. You know, as we try to serve God with our lives, it's not always going to be a bed of roses. Pastor, have you ever faced any difficulty in your years in the ministry? Yeah, there's difficulty, because when you decide to do something with God, there's this guy called the devil, and he's gonna try to stop you. He's going to try to put impediments in your way. Oh, there's also this person called your flesh, that's also going to try to get in the way and try to stop you from doing things for God. That's why it's so important that we have the presence of God in our life, that fellowship, a personal walk with God. A man said this, said, Paul walked with Christ, prayed, obeyed His will, and sought to glorify His name. When he was living under law, all Paul had was a set of rules, but now he had a friend, a master, a constant companion. John Wesley said, I want the whole Christ for my Savior, the whole Bible for my book, the whole church for my fellowship, and the whole world for my mission field. I think that's a pretty good outlook to have. Do we want to have His presence in our life? Do we want to have Him right next to us? You know, sometimes it's uncomfortable, because if we have Him right here in our life, right next to us, He might point some things out in our life that we don't want Him to see. Now, that's foolish because he sees it all anyway. But we try to pretend like, no, God, don't look at that over there. Do we treat him like a close friend and companion? Or do we kind of tell him to go sit in the corner and leave me alone? You know, try that on your wife or your husband sometime, right? When you come home and say, hey, I don't want you telling me what you think I should or shouldn't be doing. Just go sit in a corner and stop talking and leave me alone. That's not a very good relationship, is it? But sometimes that's how we treat the Holy Spirit. And we say, hey, I don't want you to tell me anything. I don't want you to convict me of my sin or convict me of something that I ought to be doing. Just go over there and stay out of my way. You know, he lives in our heart. That doesn't mean that he's close to us. The Bible talks about we can quench the Holy Spirit. We need to have that, his presence. We need to know his presence. We need to have that fellowship with him. You know, what's so great about Jesus Christ, and we don't have time to go through it all tonight, but in Jesus, we have a companion who faced all of the same things that we as people faced. The Bible says he was tempted in all points, yet without sin. He went through everything that we face here on this world. He knows what we're dealing with. He knows what we struggle with because he's been in that same position before. And yet he wants to come beside us as a companion to help us, to guide us through those things so that we may live victoriously in our Christian life. Do you know his presence here tonight? And lastly, do you know his perfection? Verse number 11 says, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Paul here had a spiritual goal. He wanted to reach that point to arrive where he would get to heaven someday, knowing that he gave his all. But yet he realized that as long as he was here on this earth, he was never going to arrive. He was simply just striving towards that mark. But he had a goal in mind. You know, if we don't have a goal, if we don't have anything that we're aiming at, then we're not going to have anywhere to go. We have to have a goal. And I love how it says in verse 13 where Paul just says, hey, I'm forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark. I think about the Olympics. Anybody here watch the Olympics? Few people, all right? Few heathens. And I like the Olympics. I think they're fun. They're great. I didn't even know the Winter Olympics were going on recently in China, besides some controversy that had happened around it. I was interested in the Summer Olympics back in 2021 there in Tokyo, because, hey, that's where we were supposed to go. We had a mission trip that we were going to go to the Olympics and pass out tracts and try to witness to people, but COVID came and canceled all that. But, you know, I thought about the Olympics, and I thought about how these people, they strive so hard they work their whole lives to try to do everything they can just to get to that point so they can win that gold medal. That piece of gold that will do nothing for them after they die. Now, I understand it represents achievement and hard work, but if people in the world can work their entire lives rearranging their whole schedules just to get some gold medal, can we as Christians not try just as hard to live our lives in a way that pleases God, to serve God with our life, to try to do everything that we can so that we can get to the end of our life victoriously and hear those words, well done, thou good, faithful servant. We need to know his perfection. Jesus Christ, our perfect Savior. I love that sign outside. You had 4,200 religions, one empty tomb. Amen. Jesus Christ is not a religion. He is a Savior. It is a relationship that we have. We don't do the things that we do so that we can somehow be favored of God to get to heaven someday. No, we have a relationship with our Savior, the God of heaven who came down as a man to give his life to pay for our sins. Aren't you so thankful for that? And when we know his perfection, we can have an eternal fellowship with him. It says this, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and I'm almost done here. Verse 13 says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. As Christians today, We know about many things, don't we? We know many stories in this book. We know how to do many different things in our Christian life, how to look the part, how to go through the motions. But do we know him tonight? Do we know him daily, personally, to know his presence in our life, that he'll lead us to that point of perfection someday when we get to heaven? Are we striving for that? Do we have a desire to know that, as Paul writes here, that I may know him? So many times I think as Christians, especially in America, there's so many things to distract us, so many things to keep our eyes off of the cause of Jesus Christ. Hey, God's will for our lives is not to just get some level of material success here on this earth where we can buy that thing that we really want and maybe take that trip that we really want. I'm not against those things, but is that what we're living for? Or are we living that we may know him in the power of his resurrection? As Christians, we know about a lot of things, and we should know about a lot of things, but Paul's one great desire and the yearning of his heart, his consuming passion in his relentless quest, was to know Jesus Christ. I pray that we would all seek to know him the way that Paul wanted to know him. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word here tonight, God. Thank you for this Resurrection Sunday, Father. But Lord, I pray that we would not only celebrate your resurrection one day a year or even one day a week, but Lord, we would seek every single day of our lives that we may know you and the power of your resurrection, so that we may strive to do that which you would have us to do, knowing that, Lord, you have the best and perfect plan for our life if we'll simply just submit to your will. God, I pray each and every one of us, myself included, God, to seek your will for our lives each and every day. God, help us to remove those things in our life which distract us, which cause us to maybe sin and get out of your will. But Lord, I pray that if any's here today and maybe thinks that they have already fallen off and maybe it's too late, God, they would just decide to give their life to you, that you might do whatever it is that you would want to do with it, Lord, and that you would use them in a special way. Lord, I pray if there's one here tonight, maybe that does not even know you as their Savior. Maybe they don't even understand your resurrection whatsoever, Lord, and they're struggling with the fact that they've never trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Lord, I pray that tonight on Easter Sunday, Lord, they would make the decision to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior so that they may know the power of his resurrection. Thank you so much for your salvation, Lord Jesus. I pray you'd use each and every one of us here as we go forth this week and this year to use us in an even greater way, because, Lord, the day is soon approaching where you'll return and call us up. I pray that, Lord, we would seek to know you as much as we can until that day comes, Lord. Thank you for all you've done. We ask it in Jesus' name.